Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
We're going to begin today in the book of John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. And I have a PowerPoint that I sent. Did they get it? If not, it's okay. Just follow with the scriptures. But we are going to start in John chapter 1, which is not in the PowerPoint. That's why I asked. So John chapter 1, we're going to read from verses 19 and 20. Then we're going to read from verse 23. Then we'll read verse 29 to verse 33. And I cut out a few verses just to save time. Amen. John chapter 1. When you get there, say amen. I'll put this water here. Those of you watching online, God bless you. Good to see you today. Hallelujah. Like and share the broadcast. Hallelujah. We like to get the word of God out to as many people as possible. Especially now we have 16 million in quarantine in Italy. I think it's 16 million, 70, 80 million quarantined in China, all the churches in Mongolia quarantined. So we started we're starting an online church with our normal church. So our Philippine church will be starting a week from now, or actually 2 weeks from now, in BGC. So this is the last Sunday you'll see me here. We'll be starting March 22nd in BGC at the Pacific Plaza Towers every Sunday at 4 p.m. And we'll be broadcasting an online church. So we're opening an online church where we'll be having service every day, Monday to Friday. We'll be having service every day. And you can join us at the online church. Those of you watching, it's at quarantinechurch.com. And we also have the domain qchurch.com for those of you who cannot spell quarantine. So qchurch.com or quarantine. I know some of you guys spell quarantine with the wrong vowels mixed up. So just for you, we also have purchased qchurch.com. And within a few days, that'll be pointing to our church service online. We'll be having online service for those who are in Singapore, Hong Kong, China, Italy, and so on. And of course, the Philippine Government Department of Health said that they may have to choose to also close all religious gatherings in the Philippines as well. So we are preparing for that with the Quarantine Church website. So people, if you can't attend church, you could attend church online with us at qchurch.com or quarantinechurch.com. And it's not a bad thing to be in quarantine. Don't be afraid of quarantine. It's not a bad thing. It is a safe thing. It's a safety measure. And when those governments decide to do that, it is a good thing. It's a safety measure. And those safety measures are helping China. The amount of infections are going down and so forth. So it is a good safety measure. And we welcome it. If it does happen, we've just made sure that we've stocked up on a lot of toilet paper. I'm joking. We did not stock up on a lot of toilet paper. But we're watching people online buy all this toilet paper. And I saw one post online that said, They showed this purse, this toilet, with toilet paper all over, just packed up to the ceiling. And it says that pooping on yourself is not one of the symptoms of the coronavirus. So why are they stacking up on toilet paper? I really don't know. But anyways, people do act funny when there's situations like this going on. You do not need to fear. The mortality rate is just 3.4%. That's quite low. You do not have to fear. Just be prayerful, serve God, do right, and this will pass very soon in Jesus' name. Amen. But we do need to cherish our time together. It's a blessing to meet publicly. And those of you who are watching and you miss service, pity on you, because you might have to miss service in the future. But now you have the great option to attend church. So make sure you come and attend church while you can. And because it's wonderful to be in the environment of the corporate anointing. And the title of my message today is called The Anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to start in John chapter 1, verses 19. And I just want to say a quick prayer for Bishop Cheeto and Pastor Rachel as they are ministering in Malaysia. So let's just stretch forth our hands and just declare blessing, revival, safety, signs, wonders, miracles, and angels to surround our bishop and Pastor Rachel as they minister to and from Malaysia. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. We honor and cover them as they go out fearlessly. Hallelujah. Fearlessly going out to preach the gospel. Somebody said you believe in the power of God. Some ministers believe in the power of God, but then they're afraid to go get on a plane to preach. What an oxymoron. Amen. But not me and not our bishop. Hallelujah. Amen. We are protected and we believe in it. You either believe the word or you don't. And as times like this, we find out who don't. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 19 says that now this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. Say who he was. And he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. He said, I am not the Messiah. Let's go down to verse 23. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him. And when they said, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah? Say not the Messiah. Nor Elijah, or nor the prophet. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Verse 32. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from above. Let's repeat this together. Say, I saw the Spirit come down from above as a dove. And remain on him. Amen. Verse 33 says, John continuing, I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The one who the Spirit would come down upon. Messiah is called the Christ. Some of you might remember when I was here during the 19th year anniversary of the River of God, I shared with you that there is no Joseph Christ, no James Christ and Mary Christ, that Christ is not Jesus's last name. Was anybody here that day? Amen. The word Christ comes from the Greek, which means Christos, translating from the Hebrew word, which means Messiah. So the word Messiah, or in Hebrew, Mashiach, is the same as the Christ. Amen. Thank you for helping me there. Hallelujah. Mashiach in modern Jewish text literally means the anointed one. So Mashiach or Messiah or Christ means the anointed one who the Spirit of God has come down upon. That's what the word Messiah means. So here we see John saying, they're asking him, are you the Messiah? He said, no, I'm not the Messiah. Then you see him saying that the Messiah is the one who the Spirit of God would come upon. And we see John's always talking about and preparing and baptizing his entire ministry, waiting for this anointed one, this Messiah. Now, it's interesting that I was one time at a evangelical, it was a conference for pastors, and one of the evangelical mega church pastors, he got up to speak, and he began to mock Pentecostals. And he mocked Pentecostals, and he was saying that, well, you know, I'm glad that they chose me to be a speaker for this pastor's conference because you need guys who have sound biblical theology like me, and I'm not going to get up here and start teaching on these, you know, silly Pentecostal teachings on the anointing. And he laughed and he mocked the anointing. And I sat there and I said, touche. Amen. I'll let him get me one. I'll get him one when he's not watching. Hallelujah. Amen. The anointing, he laughed and he made fun of and he teased like it is some kind of a Holy Ghost side doctrine. Like this subject of the anointing and the term anointing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and everything dealing with the anointing is some kind of side doctrine, like it's a fringe doctrine of some wacky charismatic group. But let me tell you today that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the central message of the Bible. It's the central message. It's not a fringe side topic that we talk about once in a while because we're Pentecostals and we believe in it. The anointing is the central message of the Bible. John came in the New Testament, opening up Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, saying, I'm not the Messiah. I'm waiting for the Messiah. Meaning, I'm not the anointed one. I'm waiting for the anointed one. Jesus' first sermon in Luke chapter 4 says that he gets up and says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, I am anointed. It's the very central message of the Bible, the doctrine of the anointing. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's not a side message. Hallelujah. If the anointed one and his anointing is the central message of the Bible, shouldn't more of our sermons actually be about the anointing? Actually, most of our Christian walk should circle around the anointing, should center around the understanding of the anointing. Most of my Christian walk, my fellowship with God, my prayers, most everything I do and live is all thinking about the anointing. I'm thinking about the anointing every day. I'm praying about the anointing every day. I'm releasing the anointing every day. I'm expecting that. That's how I live for 20 years. Thank God by his grace, when I first got saved, I went over to the book table in my church and they had all these CDs and books. And I asked the book salesman, I said, what is the most important thing I need to learn as a baby Christian? And he pointed out a 6-part cassette tape series on the anointing. And I got that cassette tape series, and it's the very first thing is the anointing. And I learned about the anointing. It's been the main subject of my study since the day I was saved, and it's been the main thing in my life. It's the central message of the Christian life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Do we have that PowerPoint or should I continue without it? Let's go to the first slide. So we see in the first slide, I say this. Put it up. Boom. There it is. Hey, oh, there. No, go back first. Yes. You are saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Bringing Christ back to Christianity. Bringing Christ back to Christianity. So much of the church world, and here in the Philippines, most of the church world, does Christianity without Christ. If Christ is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Spirit, and then to be a Christian means to be a little anointed one. So let's take a look at what this anointing is. Let's go to the next slide here, please. Amen. Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. Isaiah 10:27. Let me first define the anointing before we get into this message any deeper. Hallelujah. And I'm blessed that this phone is a black screen and I could take my time today. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10:27. Hallelujah. Says this. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and the yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Some versions, such as the NIV, calls it the fatness. And that is, and also in the Vietnamese Bible, it also says because of the fat. So this is a little bit of a misunderstanding. And the King James translates it correctly by saying anointing. The reason why the NIV says fatness is because that the anointing speaks of the thick fat oil. So this is why in Isaiah and in the NIV you have the word fatness, but the King James better translates it using the word anointing. Obviously, you're not going to destroy burdens and remove yokes by being fat. If so, I have the number one ministry in the Philippines. Hallelujah. Amen. But unfortunately, that's not so. This is talking about the oil of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to explain to you. I'm going to define this, but I want to explain to you a few things about the anointing. Because with all you're getting, you have to get understanding. The anointing can be defined here as the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Can you repeat that after me and say, burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God. Amen. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring recovery of sight to the blind. And he went on to say burdens and yokes that are destroyed by the anointing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say encourage the blind. Give an inspirational message to the poor. Challenge the brokenhearted. Unfortunately, most of what we have in the large churches and the viral messages online are just messages that encourage us, challenge us, motivate us, but there's no anointing. How do I know there's anointing? Because if there's an anointing, the blind see, the lame walk, the sick are healed, the broken heart are restored. Do you hear me? It doesn't say inspire the deaf. It says heal the deaf. So there's no anointing. It sounds good. It could be entertaining. It could be motivating. But it's not anointing. Just because some, I don't want to call any names out, but you know, you just imagine in your mind who I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And you can't judge me for it because I didn't say their name. But just because some preacher has some messages that have lots of shares and likes and popular and you like it, doesn't mean it's anointed. If it doesn't bring miracles, signs, and wonders, there is no anointing. and we've substituted entertainment for the anointing. Listen, if I want entertainment, I'll just go watch Joy Co. Joe, what's that his name? Joe Coy. Hallelujah. Amen. If I want entertainment, I'll watch Joy Co., not Francis Chan. Hallelujah. But he got the Holy Ghost now. Amen. He's got miracles now. And after he tasted it, he said, I don't want to go back to church as usual. Because once you get a hold of the real thing, you're tired of entertainment. You're tired of church as usual. Jesus came to bring the anointed. He said, I am the anointed one. And he raised up a church that was full of power and miracles. But we settled for entertainment. We settled for inspiration. We settled for a challenging message today, Pastor. I don't want to challenge you. I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. I want to see the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody say amen. Let me give you another definition for the anointing. This is my definition. And I want you to memorize it and learn it. The anointing can be defined as God's ability upon our inability to do what only God can do. Let's repeat that with together. And it is on the slide somewhere. They'll find it soon. But you can repeat after me. Amen. The brother said, keep both your eyes on your belongings. And I was going to say, no, keep both your eyes on me. You might get healed looking at me. Hallelujah. I have a boy in Ohio. Haven't seen him in 15 years. He was sick on his way to the doctor. He was scrolling through his phone. He saw my photo and was instantly healed. I didn't pray for him. I didn't lay hands on him. He didn't touch the hem of my garment. He saw my photo on Facebook and was healed in an instant. Keep your eyes on me. Hallelujah. Repeat after me. God's ability on my inability to do what only God can do. Hallelujah. I never tell anybody that I can't do it. Do they say, can you speak in Chinese? I say, yes, I can do it. They say, can you act? I say, yes, I can. Can you sing? I say, yes, I can. Can you climb mountains? I say, yes, I can. I never say I can't do it because I'm never relying on what I've done or what I'm good at. I rely on the anointing. Hallelujah. The anointing will enable you to do what you've never done before. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll join a marathon. Hallelujah. I can't promise you how far I'll go, but with the anointing, it'll be much farther than I can in the natural. Hallelujah. Amen. The anointing empowers you to do what you cannot do in the flesh, and God never calls you to do what you can do. God never calls you to do what you can do. You have concocted that in your little mind. They say a little church is a church with people that have a little God and a little mind. Amen. We have a big God, and we need to think big, and we need to go big and do big. Hallelujah. God will never call you to do something that you can do, because you can take the credit for it. But God will call you to do something that you can never do, and that's how you know it's God. Let me tell you, trust me, you cannot outthink God. You cannot outplan God. When somebody comes around me talking big, I say, there's a person that's talking with God. Amen. Because God can do great things under the anointing. God's ability, come on your inability to do what only God can do. Let's take a look at a picture of the anointing in Zechariah chapter 4. We don't have enough preaching on the anointing. I don't know when's the last time I heard a message on the anointing. I go on Facebook and YouTube. When's the last time you heard a message on the anointing? You barely hear it anymore. And it is the quintessential thing. It's the central message of the gospel. Zechariah chapter 4. Let's take a look at this. 1, verse 4. It says, we see a picture of it here. He says this. So I answered and I spoke to the angel and talked with me, saying, what are these things, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, you don't know what these things are. He said, I said, no, my Lord. Verse 6. Oh, no, we missed the first one. You missed 1, 2, and 3. It's probably my fault. Go back to 1, 2, and 3. Look in your Bible is better. Hallelujah. I prophesied you'd look at me. Don't look at the screen, didn't I? Zechariah. If you don't know what that is, just find Malachi and go backwards. Amen. Go backwards about one and two books. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1. The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that waketh out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked and behold. Now here it is. Here's a picture of the anointing. I have looked and behold a candlestick of all gold. Now, if there's an artist that wants to paint this and donate it to me, God bless you. I'd love to have this on my wall. Hallelujah. I'll give you a hug for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this. And I said, and I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it. And his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these things be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone or capstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and he goes on to speak a little bit farther about a prophetic message. But I don't want to get into that entire message, but I do need to give you this picture of the anointing. So he begins to see this vision, and in this vision, there is a bowl that collects this anointing oil. So we get this word fatness in the NIV version. It's the oil. And what's pouring the oil into this bowl is two olive branches. The olive branches produce the oil. It comes from the olive, pours into the bowl, and then it goes into this lamp that has seven parts to it. I think they have this in Israel. If you go to Israel, you see these Jewish lamps with seven, you know, pipes. And this represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go down into this chapter, you see that these seven pipes represent the eyes of the Lord. When the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he can show himself strong through, it is not talking about two eyeballs, it is talking about seven. The eyes of the Lord are seven. And we're going to look in this a little bit farther in Isaiah about these seven spirits of God here in a moment. But I want to slow down, and I want to give you this picture. So we have here this unlimited supply of anointing oil coming down into the bowl, into the seven spirits, and then the seven spirits are ministered throughout the earth. And they're looking for people whom they could anoint that they can be demonstrate God's will and God's power in the earth. So let me just say, number one, God's power is looking throughout the earth, looking throughout Manila, looking throughout the Philippines, to whom will avail themselves to be used by the power of God. God is looking in this room today to find those who will allow him to do the impossible through. Because the anointing is his ability upon our inability to do what only he can do. So the seven spirits of God are looking for somebody who will believe in the anointing and grab onto the anointing and then be used to demonstrate God's power in the earth. Do you understand me?
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah, and he sent his son Jesus to die for you, and through him you can turn from your way of doing things to his way, and his way is the right way, because he made you, and he made you for a purpose, and he knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential, to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.